Gray man.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you.
Oh, just coming in. The sun went down on me. I've been out there fucking around all day. Or most of the day anyway, this evening. But wood carving, my hands are sore.
That'll do it.
Yeah, cleaning things up and whatever. Charlie and Jody work really hard, man. This place is starting to come. It already looks a little different than when you were here. The grass has been mowed, or not all of it, but a lot of it has been. So, and the shelf systems that you gave me, man, those are already full. Man, they're a big help. They're a big help. Well, no, but yeah, they're not quite organized yet, but they're a very, very big help. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I could probably get you another one up there.
Well, we wouldn't say no, at this point. Wouldn't say no. It's really, really helped out. And of course, well, it's a little warm, right now. These like it's we're heading toward a little bit of a Indian summer, I guess, but whatever. We've been getting out in the yard, cleaning things up and carving things out of wood and, getting the grass scythed down. We moved the hey baby, oh my dog, come here sweetie. We moved the got a shock collar for the dogs.
Oh,
So
yeah.
she yeah so Sudi's been really, really good. They're very effective. You want to try to use them as little as possible,
That's true.
but they start working that day,
Oh, yeah.
and of course, they're not whatever. They're not being tortured in any way. Look at her, just because she wants to go out. Look at her, she's laying. Silly dog. Oh. But whatever. We got five dogs here, and they like to run off and bark at the when the neighbors come and get their mail and that kind of thing. Oh, because they're two of them are puppies. They're new.
Oh, yeah.
Sudie's still in her, kind of rebellious teenage phase. I know, babe. What, sweetie? What? She's so silly. Anyway, so I'm just kind of coming in and waiting for my mosquito bites to stop itching so bad. Man, I've had a rough. Man, when they started cutting that hay,
Yeah.
my God, man. Now they still have to come back and pick the bales up, the rolls up. But yes, Sudie, I know, baby. I know. I know. I know. Oh, I've got your papa. Oh, I've got your papa. Yes, no, sweet. It'll be rained in a little bit. Be fine. Anyway, what's up with you?
Oh, trying to get ready for the next Mega Drive.
You think it's gonna happen?
It's looking like it that now the launching pad has a scheduled viewing that they have on the website that they said they've already scheduled it for a live stream and stuff. So everybody else is getting ready like it's going to happen.
So the hurricane, it's.
It looks like it's pushing out to sea. It's not a hurricane yet. It's just a tropical storm right now.
I gotcha.
So you're saying that Jody would want to stay up there because
Oh,
of the date situation?
because Shay's going to be here on, what, the 30th? Yeah, so Shay will be here on the 30th.
So how is Shay getting up there?
She's gonna drive. She'll drive herself.
So, what if it was something like if the launch does not happen, we put Jody on a bus to Atlanta and Shay picks up Jody in Atlanta and drives Jody home?
I can't do the road trip.
Oh yeah, it's the road trip. It's gonna be,
Oh.
yeah, it's the trip itself. It's gonna.
I'm 14 hard to get my body.
It's a haul. It is a haul.
Yeah.
It does.
My body, I can't travel like that anymore.
Okay, I was just not wanting you to feel left out.
Trust me, I've been turning it around in my head, trying to figure out a way that would work, and then it just keeps going back to the one thing. I know I cannot handle the road trip and be here and enjoy Shay's visit. I'll be too tired.
I hear you.
Yeah, it really, with her fibromyalgia, it really, you know, something like that would take her down a couple pegs physically.
Right.
And then a bus trip
would just add insult to injury on that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. God, the last time I rode on a bus was to, I was starting, played a character in one of Dean's movies.
Yeah.
I took a bus down there to do that. Oh, my God.
Well, and plus, too, her coming up for this visit is she's having a real hard time with her job. And she's just got to get away. So that's what the trip is. She's coming up here. So I want to be, not that I wouldn't want to be any other time, but I really want to be able to
be functional. You want to be functional?
Yeah.
I got you. I was just trying to make sure that you weren't getting left out because of the date situation, that you had a prior engagement and that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really do. But yeah, that's the decision that I get to make because.
Right. I hear you.
Well, and I want to see Shay too, and I'm in a lot of pain, but you know I can do it. I can do it, and it won't.
You've already done it. You've already done it.
Our goals are different.
Yeah.
Shay likes to stay here and talk. Shay likes to sit and talk to you, and her and I do different things together. Y'all have a different relationship.
Well, there is a good chance that it will go on the 27th, and that we'll be back on the 29th.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it goes like that. You know, I'm just.
Yeah, me too.
It's like 6 years, like 5 or 6 years late on this mission here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just been, you know, it's. I want to see it succeed. You know? So I hope that's the case. I hope it goes off. You know, weather and everything, you know. I want them to have to roll it back because if they roll it back in, then they'll miss the window.
It'll be October for sure.
Yeah.
It'll be
because they move slow with that thing, you know.
Yeah, it takes about a day to get it out and a day to get it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All day.
Yeah. It's only like 3.5 miles, I think, from the building, but it crawls at like less than half a mile.
I mean, people can like walk next to it, you know.
Oh yeah.
Not that I'd want to, because you know, if it did come down,
it almost looks like it's not moving.
Right. Wow. Damn, I'd hate to be.
It's Earth movers.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. One of the tracks alone weighs a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm trying to find out a better nav system, and Charles is saying he'll lend me his iPhone 12, one of his iPhones. He's got so many, he couldn't. He was going, well, here's this one, here's that one, this is my LA number, this is my Miami number. Oh, here it is, it's an iPhone 12. I said, will a 12 do it? So, yeah.
Yeah. Shit. So you can plug it into, so what, the update, you said you got an update for the Outback, right?
I remember I told you that when I first went in there that they told me that there was an update and they downloaded the wrong update and I had to go back and I waited like 3.5 hours for them to do the update.
Wow.
From the beginning, this was like a year ago. And from the beginning, they've been missing up on updates. So this time I go in there and I'm going to get the wireless charger installed. And guy says, I think there's an update for your cars. And he went out and he looked at my car and pressed some buttons and got into the service mode and he got the number. He said, yeah, there's an August update. And then I said, well, I'll come in tomorrow and get it done because I didn't want to wait again. So, you know, y'all download it and I'll come in. I don't want to wait for y'all to download it. And I came back in tomorrow to get the wireless charger and the update done and came back out that there was no update. So they were confused whether there was an update. And then they told me, oh, well, the update's over the wireless. And I seen the Starlink that's in the car. They said, yeah, yeah, you got to get through the Starlink. I said, that charges me $99 to get the Starlink service. You're going to charge me to see if this fixes my bug? No. So they basically drugged their feet and they said, well, there's nothing we can do. I said, well, I'll be calling Subaru of America. And they said, well, you know, let us know what they say.
Right.
I called Subaru of America and they couldn't believe that I was treated that way. And they said, well, here's a free subscription. So they gave me the $99 subscription.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. So I came home and I pressed software update. And it says, your software is currently up to date. So I sent a text to the service rep and I sent an email to the service manager saying, hey, again, you misled me on the update. This is incompetence to the max.
Well.
Yeah, so the guy called, texted me back saying, here's the instructions to get into the service mode so I can check it myself. And then they said, well, you are on the latest update. And I said, well, this is just not going to do. The USB problem is still happening. My phone will drop off sporadically. The only bug that they fixed is that the infotainment system doesn't reboot anymore. So it's gotten better, but they just don't know what's going on with the software. And then they said, oh, well, it's a Google problem why Android Auto won't take up the full screen. Well, guess what? In the 2023 on YouTube videos, the new Outback, Android Auto takes up the full screen. So it's not a Google problem.
Right. Fuck.
And I sent them the link to the video to show, look, this is not a Google problem. This is something that you guys aren't doing for the 2022 Outbacks.
Well, incompetence seems to be the norm now.
Yeah,
and
it's par for the course.
Yeah, and of course they don't have any incentive to help people who've paid for their car. They have incentives to help people who are paying for their car. You know,
right.
Payments. Right. That's really what they're in the business. They're not really in the business of selling cars. They're in the business of gathering money.
Right. Right.
If you're not gathered, if you're done, then
they want that reoccurring revenue with the kickbacks from all of the banks and stuff.
Yes, that's correct. You know, welcome to the world today.
Yeah.
You know,
Ferengi have landed.
Yes. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. What's the first rule of or what is it? Rule 11 of the rules of acquisition or whatever the fuck. You know. Okay, Shekelstein. But you know, it just seems to be kind of normal. I mean, even if there is incentive, like people who work in jobs today, they don't get paid enough for the cost of living that goes up. So, I mean, they just want to get through the day and collect their checks at the end of, you know, whatever the month or whatever.
It's corporate. It's corporate greed.
Yeah.
You can look at all the statistics from the 1990s going up to current times. Like in 2000, Jeff Bezos was worth like a couple hundred million. And now he's worth several billion.
All right.
So his increase has gone up in astronomical amounts, where the minimum wage in 2000 didn't change until like 2014 or something like that. So it just has not kept pace with what upper management has been doing.
Yeah. And
did you hear about the railroad strike?
No, I didn't hear about that.
It got averted. Biden got on the phone with him and was on on with them 20 hours to negotiate a settlement because the railroad companies did not want to give their employees leave time. That they said that, that they already get enough vacation time, they get enough sick days, but they needed leave time for like, the government says that if you're having a baby, you get X number of days leave time. Well, the railroad was excluded because they're actually mostly government employees in a lot of places. So it ended up to where they got like a 14% raise and leave time and averted a strike. If the railroads would have gone on strike, if you think inflation's bad now, it would have crushed us.
Oh, man.
It would have crushed us.
Yeah. Yeah, because the rail system is still really important, man.
Yeah, that's yep. how most the shit, that's how most the shit's moved.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people say, well, the truckers move. Dude, look at a fucking train. What are they hauling? They're hauling the fucking trucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the guy that started that whole piggyback system right there. But and even so, trucks and trains have always worked in tandem.
Right, yeah.
Always, like all the way when they were first laying the tracks out west, man. Wherever the train lands, the trucks come and pick the stuff up from there and
that's
then
right.
drive.
That's right.
You know, it's part of the same system, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So
it's like blood vessels and capillaries.
That's yeah. It. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they hand off. They hand off. And especially especially with everyone, you know, like, again, the norm, everyone these days, you know, a lot of people just order everything. You know, they instead of going out to brick and mortar, they just order everything online.
Well, that's
and
because,
have it delivered
that's
to their house,
because you know? There's few brick and mortar left.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and why? Why not? Because you don't really have to go out. You can order it right there from your phone. You don't even have to be on your. You don't have to go and sit at your computer. You got your phone in your pocket. You can order from Wish and Amazon, right there. You know, and just you know, you can have it things. You know, next day aired to your house. You know, or you know, wait a day or two, or you know, whatever. And so with that happening, you know, people don't have to. You know, they're not so inclined to necessarily get out and drive, you know, but, yeah. And of course, you know, we kind of do this. So we don't go to town unless we have supplies to get.
You think that could be part of what's creating all the Karenism is that people have lost their skills, their, interpersonal skills that they don't have to deal with people anymore going to stores and stuff that it's a rarity that they actually have to interact with people now.
Right, right. Oh, and they can decide just not to serve you just because they just decide. They don't have to give you a reason why. We're just decided we're not serving you.
Well, that's always been the case.
You know, but, well, when I was younger, customer service was a thing. But
true, because it's to your advantage to serve them well so more people
right.
will come.
Right,
but
right.
The law,
but now,
the law has always been that you could deny anybody anything.
Service.
That, yeah,
yeah. yeah. Yeah, and it's been like in Georgia, it's always been, you know, in the favor of the companies.
It's a right to work state. That means they can fire you without cause.
Right. Yeah. Just because they don't owe you a reason.
That's
you know?
Right. All they owe you is a check. They owe you any wages when they fire you. They have to cut you a check right then and there. If you get fired and they say we'll send you a check, say no, I'll wait.
You're right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad I work for myself now. You know,
yeah.
like whatever.
Well, that's partly why I did the swan dive out of IBM, is that I watched IBM create tools in Lotus Notes that was collecting information on everybody, basically their skill sets. And then I watched people get fired, mostly the upper echelon that were getting paid a lot of money. And then miraculously, the management teams were getting bonuses that kind of like corresponded to they fired this many people and saved $1 million. And then all of a sudden, the managers get split $1 million. It's corporate greed is killing this country. It's killing the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good God, my hands are, I'm sore now. Boy, I worked hard. I'm carving a spoon now. Just a little spoon, just because, you know, I'd already started it and we got some more gouges and rasps and files and stuff like that. So,
right. So,
just cleaning my nails and my fingers are really sore from, so whatever, I guess I have to do a lot more. I could do it every day. But, you know, yeah. Anyway.
So, did you see the picture I sent you that's the GoPro that's in the car?
Hold on. I don't think so. Hold on just a second. I don't know. I haven't checked my phone.
I bought a bicycle mount for the GoPro, and I stuck it to...
I see it now. Yeah.
I stuck it next to the headrest on the back seat, and I'm thinking about doing a time lapse of our trip. So we're driving down. You'll see a time lapse of all the driving and shit.
Oh wow, man, that's pretty wild there now. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, hold on. Bob pressed recall. I can't. Whatever. This is, look, I forgot to tell you, Jody. See the spiral staircase? It was inside. Inside
that was tight.
Bob and Shannon's.
That was tight staircase. It was disorienting.
Yeah, it really was.
So does the video play for you?
No, it won't let me play it while I'm on the phone.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I won't do that.
Yeah,
but,
so it's just a little short little burp. Evidently, when the GoPro was sitting there, he pressed the button, not knowing, you know, thinking that it would turn it on, not knowing that that doesn't turn out. That starts the recording.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So he was probably wanting to look at the time lapse that I took of the sunrise, where he should have touched the back screen to get it come on. And then you have to, if you know GoPro, you have to swipe up to get into the recordings that you've made, pictures you've made.
Right.
So he just didn't know how to use a GoPro, and he took a little short blurb of you and I.
Are we in there?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to see that.
It's only like 10 seconds long.
That's all right. Yeah, what do you think about that, dude? Cool. I'm going to try to finish it up tomorrow if I can, you know, or at least get it to where I can find the sandpaper and sand on it, make it smooth. And then I'll oil it up, you know, I'll get some linseed oil on it.
Get a carpet basin to the handle.
I could, but I don't think, I mean, I haven't thought about that yet. I mean, I was going to make a slimmer handle on it, you know, and maybe curve it. So it's probably, this is going to be just a basic spoon. But yeah,
so send me a picture of it.
Let me go into here. Here, I've got one of me actually, so this one would be good to have, and then I'll send you another one. This is me just starting. I'd already started on it, but I hadn't started scorping out the concave portion of it yet.
Yeah.
So here's me having done some of that earlier today. Massages. There we go. Recents. Lunch, and then done again, and then so here's one, and then I can take another. Here, it's coming through. Well, I've already started, like you can see in that picture, I've already scorped out a lot of the material. Here, I'll put this on the...
Yeah, I see it.
All right, so now, here, I'll take this one. Let me see here. me see here.
So that's more the size of an eating spoon.
Well, it is, and it's actually it's small. It's really small. There's not much. Yeah. All right. So now I'll share this one, and this is from I just came in. It got so dark. You don't want to be out there with sharp ass chisels and gouges in your hand.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, my eyes are terrible anyway. Let me see here. Recent. And then this, and then that. All right, so here, this is a little bit, I put it on the shelves and gave it a little angle, so now you can see how I've scorped out part of it, and I'm still removing material from the bottom of it, and still flat across the top. That's also going to change a little bit, you know.
Right.
But yeah, you know, whatever, just, you know.
It's got the right shape, so you're on track.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a little hard for me to do, I guess, you know, because I don't have my artistic hand anymore, but yeah. It's not impossible, and so there you go.
Yeah.
So that's, I worked on that today, you know, and I'll be doing more, yeah, because it's one of those things where you will absolutely get better if you just keep doing it. You just have to keep doing it, and you'll get to where you can just kind of feel the way. And I'm actually using the chisel like a knife. You take, kind of hold the chisel close to your hand and almost move the piece of wood and keep the chisel still. Or say, you know, some people cut carrots in their hands like that, you know, like you just kind of just push the knife through, you know.
You're being a human lathe.
Yeah, pretty much. Just removing material. And you with the chisel, you kind of move it sideways as you dig in, and that way it kind of slices, you know, each little piece of material off, you know.
All right.
So what? And yeah, it is. It's like yeah, it'll work. It's probably going to be like for tea. I mean, it's just because you know, there's a block of wood there, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just going to try to make a spoon, you know.
It's looking good. You know,
well, I appreciate it. It's really it's my first spoon. I've never made a spoon before. I didn't really use a template or anything like that. I'm just doing it all just because I know what a spoon looks like, you know, you know, but it'll be a lot thicker. I mean, a lot thinner, you know, like there's a lot of material that'll be removed. It'll end up looking a lot smaller than that. There's a whole lot of material that has to be removed from around the bowl and from around the handle. You know, but it's getting there. It's getting there. It'll be whatever. It's a spoon I made, you know. It wasn't that hard to make. Of course, I think it's a piece of pallet wood, so they also use oak to make pallets, but often to make them lighter, they'll use pine. And pine is really easy to carve. You know, like you could just make, it's not as easy as basswood. You know, Candy wants to send you basswood, you know, he wants you to buy that, you know, it's just fine. You can carve anything, little figurines, chess pieces, you know, what have you, you know, but, and of course, if I had a Dremel, I had a Dremel, but I guess Ted got into that too. I bought a whole kit for Jody, but we don't have it anymore. But if I had that, I would knock a spoon out like so quick. You know, like easily, I could probably make two more. Well, I don't know. I would just have to see. But I'd be moving material a lot quicker and with a lot more precision. And it would also be closer to finished, you know, when I just stopped removing the material. And it's ready to be like you just hand sand it and oil it up, let the oil soak in, sand it again, oil it up again, that kind of thing.
Right.
I'm going to be doing bowls, you know, bowls and plates, that kind of thing. You gotta put a little oil in your bowl when you make it. And there's a couple of other tools that I would need for that. Like you'd need something larger than a gouge. You need an adze really to remove large amounts of material. I like to make square bowls, you know.
Yeah, you need an adze if you're gonna be making your log cabin.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but they have one that's, it's not an adze, it's really a hammer or, you know, like a hatchet, but it has the adze end, the blade on it is the same thing that you find on an adze, but But so I could use something like that if you're, you know, to make a cabin with. But yeah, it's the same principle basically. It's the
right, same thing. Right.
But and again, you know, bowls of any shape, out of wood, out of any wood. You know, you don't have to. You're not restricted just to soft wood with that. You know, you can use, like, I made a billet out of well, it's out there. I'll send a picture of tomorrow. But and that's not totally finished, but I'm already using it. Out of black walnut, you know, out of the black walnut that fell, I cut a piece off and started.
Yeah, Charlie calls it your beating stick.
My beating stick. Yeah, it is, and it looks like a club, you know, but it's made for hammering wooden pegs into wooden holes.
Right.
You know, because otherwise, if you use a hammer for that, you'll just destroy it, and you don't really want to use a rubber mallet for that. You need something that's solid. You know,
isn't a wooden peg like that called a dowel?
Yeah, it would be. It would be a dowel. Well, generally a dowel indicates that it's long. However, otherwise it's just a peg. But it's the same thing, really. It's, yeah, you can call it a dowel.
I didn't know dowel meant long.
Well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean long. It's just whenever, you know, my mother learned from her father, and she had every little piece of wood. She never threw a piece of wood away. She all had them organized. And
yeah.
You know, and so, you know, what she called a dowel was a long, you know, like a long piece.
Round piece.
You know, yeah, long round piece. But yeah.
Long,
so,
thin, round.
Piece. But it's the same thing. Yeah, that terminology still works for a peg, you know.
Because Johnny always called them a dowel.
Yeah, that's not wrong. That's not wrong at all. You know, there's a lot of other stuff, you know, like I still haven't made the tent pegs that I want to make, you know, whatever, you know, wooden tent pegs. You can make them however long you want to make them. You're not restricted to, you know, whatever you get when you buy a tent, you're going to get aluminum or possibly plastic, but the plastic ones really work. They really hold on to the ground better just because of the way they're made, you know, whereas, you know, the aluminum ones, you're fine until it gets really windy. Then you might have a problem, you know. And in that case, you'd want, you know, the plastic ones. Or you can make wooden ones that are shaped like the plastic ones, you know.
Right.
Although I think the plastic ones even have, like, instead of being the thickness of a wooden one, even though it's the same shape, it's put together, like, it's got all these little kind of pockets all over it that kind of grab onto the dirt once you get it pounded in.
Right.
And that's another thing. You want to use a billet or a mallet or a baton and not necessarily a hammer. Although, generally, part of your bushcraft tools does involve a hatchet that you use the backside of the hatchet for a hammer. And you can, if you're careful, you can use that a long time, you know, without damaging your stakes, you know.
Yeah, without splitting them and breaking them.
Yeah, because they'll split and break. Or if they're aluminum, they'll bend, you know.
Yeah.
You know? So, but really, yeah, a good... good strong wind and aluminum stakes often just come out of the fucking ground, you know. But so the wood seems to be a little more, you know, have a little more grip to it. But I like functional art. So carving a spoon or a steak, you know, that's a good thing for me. You know, I'm not only see the artistic value in it, but it's a fun, you know, I can eat with this.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, having made one, my next one should be better. You know, like I should improve. And maybe every few times I try, you know, I'll actually fuck one up, you know, but as you just kind of get your hands, you know, trained to move in the different ways, make the different cuts, you know, like generally removing material is a series of stop cuts, and then, you know, then you cut, you angle toward the stop cut, and then that piece just flakes right off, you know, and boom. So, and there's lots of little, like I've watched a lot of guys carve like a bear, a little bear, or little chess pieces, I've watched them carve like a bearded face, you know, like an old man's face or something like that, which is really cool. I've seen them do that to, just on a tree or to a log, or, the head of a staff, you know, a walking stick. You know, and Charlie asked if I was going to carve a face into the handle of the spoon. Well, I could do that. You know, I could do that. I also thought about making it maybe serpentine a little bit, not three-dimensionally, but just two-dimensionally, like a flat, like a light.
There's actually a walking stick with a face carved in it in the basement.
Oh, yeah. See? Yeah, people do that all the time, man. That's actually pretty popular. When you if you go to the Renaissance Festival and you're looking for canes.
Andy's cane has
one. Oh, yeah, yeah. Andy's cane has one. That's right. Yeah, yeah. So that's a, you know, so of course I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be trying my hand at that, you know. But it would also be cool to carve, you know, like reliefs of animals, you know, like carve a bear or a wolf or the face of a wolf, you know, something like a face of a fox, something like that, you know. You know, and whatever, you know, like if I get a little prolific at it, you know, then I could take the stuff up to Giles up here and sell the stuff, you know.
Yeah, the flea market.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's just something, you know, I've been wanting to do it, and now I'm actually doing it. Well, what happened is Charlie went with Tool last week, and Tool came and picked him up, and he's like, y'all need anything while we're out? And I'm like, okay, I need some rasps, some files, some gouges, and a whittling knife, you know. And he came back with a bunch of, they went to Harbor Freight. He spent like, I don't know, $35 and... Yeah, Charlie's spent and came back with all these wonderful tools. Plus, he and I both have some smaller gouges, and he had a whole set of rasps, like handheld rasps, and we can't find them anywhere.
Where the fuck they were?
Well, whatever. A lot of stuff went missing before Ted left. Oh, they were thinking it.
Yeah, Johnny doesn't have any of that.
He did what now?
Johnny didn't have any of that. He did all his stuff with
a knife, right? With a pocket knife.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the real skill. When you can use a pocket knife. Well, I mean, they make whittling knives, you know. They're not a They're not a folding knife. You know, they're a fat handled wooden handled. They're actually pretty freaking expensive to get a knife.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to it either.
Yeah, those if you can. You're really good if you can do that, man. You're really good if that's your main tool. Of course, I think I did pretty good with the spoon because I did it with just the gouges that we got, and I don't have a scorp, which is, it's not really a gouge. You rake it across the wood, and it automatically carves a concave, you know. That's usually what people use to make spoons, and they call it a, it has another name, but scorp is a typical name for a tool like that. But other than the score, you know, if you can use like what do they call those Flex Cut is one company, and Beaver Craft is one, and Flex Cut is another. The Beaver Craft is like the low end. Anything less than that, the guys that I've looked at, they say don't get anything cheaper than the Beaver Craft. That's as cheap as you can go. But really, the middle of the road, which is actually fine, is the Flex Cut. If you buy one of those, and you can get one for maybe $17-$18, you know, which isn't bad. But like the others, they're like, it's like $150, man, for these. And when they make, like when you order one, the one company that I looked at, you purchase it and then they make it and ship it to you. So you have to wait like a little while, you know, you know, before you get your knife in the mail. But yeah, being able to use or you know, like people use just like a pocket knife, you know, you get a. Well, it depends on what the metal is and how you sharpen it. One thing that we don't have is I looked at some, there are three or four different grits of wet, Japanese whetstone. It usually costs around $60. It also comes with a rubber foot so that you can, you know, put your stone on the table and then push away, you know, with your thumb behind the blade and, you know, that kind of thing. But Charlie has found very similar stones for like $20. So we'll start with that, you know. You get right. Three or four grits and.
Well, after Johnny left Shepherd's, he went and started Designer's Workshop. So he made signs and he did a lot of woodworking for different signage for a lot of the buildings around Atlanta.
Oh, wow. Yeah, like wooden signs?
Well, like he did wood, metal. He did plexi. He did all. He also did.
Did
models for like displays and stuff. So, like, if you went into an office building and you saw their directory, he'd make a directory. But he'd also do like the signage that would say restroom, and sometimes it was like just the individual letters that they would cut out. And some places would want it out of wood. Some places would want like an inlay cutout where it's all. Right. So he did a lot of woodworking.
That's really cool. Yeah, I saw the little sander that you got down there. Holy shit, man. That little sander, that's a badass little sander right there.
The belt sander or the vibrating sander?
Well, vibrating sanders are, like, I'm definitely going to get one of those. But, yeah, the belt sander, man.
Yeah.
That little thing, oh, my God, I put this thing, this spoon, in the vise, in the vise, and then take a rasp. And then after I rasp it, I take the file, and then, eventually you'll hit it with sandpaper. But boy, if you had that, you could just hold the thing in your hand and spin it around and get a nice, you could see it kind of shaping in front of you so much quicker that it's just, you just have a better product when you're done.
Right.
And that's what a little belt sander like that will do, especially for since it's a small one, so now you can get, because you don't want to, like, you don't want to take a small piece and put it on this big, huge belt of sand. It'll take it out of your hands and throw it in your face. But the small things, right?
Yeah, get a mouthful real quick.
A little belt sander like that, man. That's a good thing for a woodworker to have right there. And then I guess it depends on what sandpaper you put on there is if you want to polish metal with it, if you want to, whatever you want to do. But yeah, man, that's a nice little sander right there. That's why if you have to get rid of that. No one else wants that. Call me. Right. But yeah, no, absolutely. I don't even have a palm sander of any kind, whether it's orbital or reciprocating. Oh, it's in storage. Okay. Oh, okay. An orbital. Yeah. A reciprocator is nice. Reciprocating sander, they're the same shape as an orbital sander, but there's just a palm sander, fits in your palm. And that's a good thing to have, You can hold like for me, I would hold it in my right hand and then hold the piece with my left hand and touch it to the sander. So I'm moving the wood, the object, instead of moving the sander itself. Keep the sander still. And you can, you can do a great many things with it that way. So, but I'm getting there. My quality will go up the more that I do this. And I'm not doing it because I have to make some money or anything like that. I'm doing it because I can use the things I'm making, and because it's just cool, man. I think things carved out of wood is really cool,
Right.
And I would much rather handmade things, like whatever, I like the handmade things. They can be rough looking, and kind of rustic looking. And as long as they work, you're good. So,
yeah, I saw a lot of videos on YouTube about woodworking with lathes and burl and stuff. And some of the stuff that comes out is just phenomenally beautiful.
Oh yeah, I'd love. Now my granddaddy had a lathe, so I got to learn how to use that pretty young. But I wish that I had that stuff now, because then I could, my table legs would be really something, and my billet, would be really, whatever. But I do like the handmade look too. Whatever, I can just hew, like I can put a bench or a table or a stool together with just notching and pegging poles that I cut down out of the forest. So I'm real excited about jumping into my woodworking. I've been watching a lot of videos, and I was thinking about it while we were down in Florida. And so, you know, whatever, I came back and I, whatever, you know, we started kind of cleaning up a little bit, getting things together. Until they started to hay in the field a week ago, a few days ago, whatever. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago.
Did they hay the field or did they reap the field?
They hayed it. What they do is they come and cut it down and leave it sitting there for a day. Then they come back the next day and flip it and leave it sitting again. And then the third day they come back and roll it. And then the fourth day they come pick them up. Buddy, I'm sorry, buddy, but you're not going to be able to stay there. You're not going to be able to stay, huh? Hold on. Come here, buddy. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. I know. You got to let me get up, though.
So there's this Anton guy that does YouTube videos. He usually is really good, and he's hopefully he'll read my email one day, but one of his videos just popped up. It says, first ever stars in the universe. Do they still exist today?
Huh.
And it's basically the picture of what the web's showing way, way far, far away.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, as he's saying, well, do they still exist today? Well, if today we took a picture of them, they exist here.
Well, you want me to let him out?
I don't know. This is the second time.
All right. Let them go out for a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all. Hold on.
They're going to bark like crazy things.
Hold on now. Hold on. Y'all stay close, okay?
Seems like crazy the lot, but
notice how I let him out and just, you know, let him out slowly. That way. Because otherwise, they just go, you know, flying out. And Tom goes barking. He doesn't even know what the hell he's, you know, what he's barking at. Sorry, David.
That's all right.
Did you take a gummy?
Yeah.
You want to take one?
No, I already took one.
Did you?
Yeah, you were outside.
Well,
you want one of those or one of these?
Well, I don't know. You don't like these, do you? Huh. I'd rather have one of those, but whatever. We'll save these. I've got two of these gummies left from down there. Boy, they were expensive down there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're paying Flagler beachfront price.
Well, and not only that, but up here, everything is cheaper. You know, like I'm in an area where things are normally cheaper.
You're in tourist town down there.
The who? What?
You're in tourist town down there.
Yeah, totally. And up here, we're like secluded.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's different. It's different prices in Pigeon Forge.
Oh, yeah. You go to Pigeon Forge or Sevierville is what they call it. Sevier, however it's pronounced. And the prices go up. And that's an hour away from here.
Right.
Like it's nothing. Well, actually, it's probably close to an hour and a half. I can make it to Knoxville in about 50 minutes. And then further, you know, or Morristown. I can go to Morristown in about 50 minutes. And you go further south from Morristown and you'll hit Pigeon Forge or Sevierville within about another half hour or so. Yeah, you get down there. I mean, it's Dollywood, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And it's real touristy right there. It's the same kind of thing, only it's mountains instead of beach.
Right,
know?
Right.
Oh, my God. They have, wow, we still have lots of lightning bugs out here. They've got, distilleries. Oh, hush, cat. No, cat. Yeah, they've got the distilleries. You can go. They'll give you a few shots to sample, like for free. You know.
Yeah.
They're like they can only give you so many because I don't know. They've got 100 proof stuff. If you make all your shots 100 proof, you'll be tipsy when you drive out of there.
Oh, no
and
doubt.
You could get a ticket for that.
Yeah.
But they're only allowed to give you so many, and then you have to buy it after that. You know. Oh me. Anyway, yeah, I had to walk outside for a minute. It's so beautiful up here, man. I'm so happy. I've been thinking a lot about our trip to Florida,
And
it was really, really grand. I really enjoyed it. I love the ocean has a feel about it that nothing else really has, you know. But
all that was lacking was the fucking launch. I mean, that was it. I'll agree. It was a kick-ass trip, especially getting to stay there, right there at the beach with Bob.
Yeah, that was. We kind of lucked out, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, lucked out big time.
But when it really comes down to it, I mean, if I had to pick, it would be mountains hands down. You know, you could survive.
Yeah, I just I can't deal with the heat and humidity of Florida.
Yeah, it's just
I can visit, but I don't want to stay.
Right, right.
I would prefer the high mountains of the Rockies, Colorado.
Yeah, that'd be something. That'd be something. Although our water is better than Colorado's water.
Yeah, Colorado's water is polluted.
Well, I had somebody say, well, no, this isn't the best water in the world. I've looked it up. Actually, quality-wise, the best water actually does come from Tennessee. They are.
So, you know this.
Well, but the reason why is, like, if you go to the Himalayas, yes, that's amazing water, but it's full of, it's got so many minerals that you have to boil that out or it'll kill you, right? You know, here, there's just enough that you can just drink it out of the ground without any, you know.
And the problem in Colorado is all the mining, gold mining they did out there and all the mercury that's in the water.
Yeah. Cat, I want you out. I want you out, Cat.
He's got food out there.
Yeah, you got food. Eat up. Here, let me. On top of the fridge. Oh, does he know how to get it?
Yeah, but he may have thrown it.
Well, he can eat the dog food for now. He likes it anyway. Okay, what are y'all gonna do, puppies? Y'all staying in? We can leave that open, can't we? I'll chase him out. I'll chase him out because I'm not quite settled in yet. I'm getting there. Man, I'm sore now. Oh yeah, dude. You remember you gave me a large file, a large metal file with a handle on it.
Right.
Yeah, man, that son of a bitch came in. I used it the day, next day. Woke up already sharpening. We found a couple of the axes out in the yard. Oh, that thing works great, man. And I knew it. So yeah, that's easy for sharpening your axe heads and your hatchet heads and, you know, the thicker things, the maul heads and things like that. So yeah, man, it works great, man. It's like it's hardly been used.
It probably hasn't been used much.
Well, I mean, it wasn't brand new looking. It looked like it had been used, you know.
Yeah, it had some use, but not much.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's it worked really well,
yeah,
man.
Johnny has some whetstones around here somewhere because he used to keep everything so sharp that, I mean, it would slice you open.
Yeah.
Just
that's how. Yeah, you should be able to. You literally should be able to take the hair off your, you know, off your
arm.
Like you should literally be able to shave with it off your arm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've seen guys do that. This is fairly sharp, and they're still man. The really sharp ones will take the hair all the way off.
Right.
Like a spot, you know, like people get them that sharp.
Yeah.
And of course, there's some stropping involved with that too. You know, you need a good strop, or really just a leather belt is what my granddaddy used. So just take a leather belt and, you know, you can nail it to a wall if you want to stand up and do it, or you can mount it to a piece of wood, you know, and with a handle and, you know, like a strop. I forget what they call those things. It's not a stropper, but that's what it's for, you know, just to hone the blade after, like, first you shape it. Like when you shape it, when you take the large amount of metal from it, you're only getting a shape. It isn't supposed to be sharp. Then after you get a shape, then you sharpen it, you know, like you'll shape it with a, you know, like the coarse stone, and then you'll sharpen it with the fine stone. And then you'll strop it on leather or whatever that, you know, there's several things you can use. And when you do that, when you strop, if you use a stropping compound, you can get a mirror edge where you sharpened it at, you know?
Oh yeah.
So, and if you can, if you do that, you should be able to shave a patch off your arm. And now you don't have to use the tool. You don't have to work so hard to get the tool to work, you know, Because you really want, when you're using tools, you want the tool to do the work for you. You don't want to, you know, like it's better to learn to hold the hammer at the end of the handle instead of choking
right.
up on
it. Well, it's like a chainsaw. There's a little spot at the base of the chainsaw right by the blade that you're supposed to basically put that onto the log. It's to hold the chainsaw, and then the chainsaw is pull itself into the
Like a claw. It's like a serrated claw.
Yeah.
Piece.
Yeah.
And you just stick that in, and then you just kind of, you know, you hold it steady with one hand with your elbow locked, so if it kicks back, it won't go into your face.
Right.
Then with your other hand, you just push. You almost use your wrist instead of your arm.
Right. Right. And so many people try and use it like a saw, and it's just like, God.
No. Yeah. No, that doesn't work. No, you need to. And they go dull quick too. If you hit anything, so the trick there is to keep your chain sharpened. You know, keep your chainsaw file with you.
Right.
You know, so that's, you know. Oh, and that's another thing. Charlie bought a small electric chainsaw, and then he bought an even smaller one that he hasn't put together yet, that came with two chains, or a chain and two bars, or a bar and two chains, or something like that. But really, really small. Like, normally you would use it for you know, like stuff around your yard, you know, not for cutting trees down, but for cutting big bushes down, but it's a chainsaw. But, you know,
it's
with a small bar. So from that,
for limbs.
Huh?
For limbs.
Yeah, for small limbs. And the idea is for chainsawing logs. So he started on a horse's head, you know,
those pruners.
It basically is like a pole pruner.
Yeah.
Well, a pole saw.
Yeah.
The pruner
actually
has the two little things, but that's it. Something really small, and that's perfect for just removing material from a log so that you can get your base shape going.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can start pulling out your gouges and your rasps. And your files and stuff, you know.
He's been making handles.
Yeah, he's making tool handles right now. He started on that on the bust of a horse, like a knife from a chess board, a chess piece.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's just the horse's head style, you know. Sometimes whatever. My dad had a really ornate ivory one when I was a boy.
Well, you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, and so he's actually whatever, you know. You can tell it kind of looks like a horse, and he hasn't done any detail work to it, but you know, the idea was, he wants to make whatever. We're both into carving wood, because people will buy things, you know. You could do an eagle or a horse or you know whatever, you know. An old man, you know, like whatever, a green, the you know, the green man. Kind of thing, Carnunus or whatever they call those things. I like those. You know, it's like the man's face made out of leaves. Old Man Winter or Jack in the Green, whatever you want to call him. Pan, Carnunus, whatever.
All right.
Anyway, so yeah. So tomorrow, like, I'll work until the sun went down. Once I got out there, you know, the bugs are still, you know, wreaking havoc with me. But yeah, man.
Well, I'll start looking in the basement. I'm pretty sure that composting bin that my mom got still in the box and never was assembled or anything. And it's the kind that has the lid you can lift off and you can do the turning and stuff and then put it back down.
Shit. Okay. Yeah, you know what? Stuff that, if you need to make room and no one else is interested, let me know before you.
It's all got to go. I offered it to Star. I don't think I gave it to her, but I might have. So I'll go and look down in there and see if it's still down there. But I'll look for other odds and ends, because I can bring stuff up with me when I come to pick you up, and then we can also do another load when bring you back.
Oh, shit. Well, you know, we won't say no. You know, if it helps you and it helps us, then, you know, we're all for it, you know. And I know it all has to go. Oh, yeah, the freaking, like, again, the next day, we plugged up the weed eater and the hedge trimmer,
yeah,
and using the shit out of it, you know.
Well, good.
Charging the battery, we really appreciate it, man. This is a big deal.
Because they were just sitting in the garage, and since Charles is paying for the yard guy up here, I stopped doing it, so I don't need them. I didn't need them at all.
Right. I hear you, man. Well, we could absolutely, like any tools, if you don't have anywhere to put, like, remember the wood clamps?
Right.
If you don't want those, I absolutely, because that's woodworking stuff right there, wood clamps.
Right.
Make furniture with those. I can actually make furniture if I have clamps, right?
Right.
You know, and there's some repairs. I could repair my ukulele if I had wood clamps. But, and C-clamps is also good, too. C-clamps, you use that for welding, you know, when you have to clamp stuff together to weld.
Right.
You know, so yeah, man, any types of tools at all, no matter what they are, you know, any types. It's power tools or hand tools or yard tools or automotive tools or, you know, woodworking, you know, whatever it is, you know, we won't say no. And you know, shelves always. Obviously, the fucking shelves are a big hit now. Fuck.
Here they go.
Okay, let me go get.
Oh no!
God damn it! Hold on, let me get these dogs. Hold on. Come on, dogs. Dogs. Come on, baby. Come on. Yeah, y'all go inside. Good dogs. Stay in here. Good boy, Tom. No, stay in. No, come here. Girl, come here. Come here, baby.
Come here, puppy. Come here, baby. Good girl. There you go. Yes, come on inside. Come on,
good. Good girl. There you go. Jump up. Good girl. Yeah, I'll get her. I'll get them in a minute. It's Sudie and
Sudie.
It's Sudie, yeah. Whatever.
All right. Well, I was just checking in to touch base with you and stuff, and I'll let you take care of what you got to take care of.
Yeah. Well, we're just kind of settling down for the night. I'm probably gonna, whatever. I just now took my gummy, but probably gonna go to sleep pretty early because I'm tired.
I hear that. Well, watch that little video I sent you, and there's a couple other videos that are larger that started when we were standing out in front of the Little Lion.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we were all hopped up and ready, but.
Well, shit. Yeah, I'll check it out. Hey, baby. Yeah, see, all the dogs came back. All right. Ferd, you're in my spot, buddy. Come on, baby. Help.
Come here, Ferdinand. Come on, baby.
Come on, bud. Thank Ferd. You. Come on,
Ferd.
Come on. Good boy. Let me get in here. All right. Yeah, well, whatever. I'm feeling a lot better. I started feeling better today. Well, I guess I started feeling a little better yesterday. But
that's good.
But, yeah, oh, God, man, my head felt so bad. You know, I had to take Benadryl a couple days in a row, and I usually don't take that at all. But every time they hay the fields, it's, you know, like it's not a small thing, man. It really, whew, you know, it's whatever's in the hay. So.
Plus, there's lots of other pollens out there too right now too.
Yeah, it's that time of year, but yeah. Man, it like made me sleep. Like I had to lay. Like I think yesterday I actually slept.
Yeah, Benadryl does that.
That's why Trish was running a fever.
What?
Hey.
Oh yeah. It's actual hay fever. So anyway, all right. I'll check out the video. You know, give us a call. You know.
All right.
Or, you know, one way or the other, either that or I'll reach out to you whenever.
Sounds good.
All right, man.
All right, y'all have a good night.
Okay, you too, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right. Talk with y'all.
All right.
Bye.